If you have your Bibles, I just want to read a passage here to get us started. If you don't have a Bible, just listen clearly. This is a very familiar passage. Most of you have probably heard this passage in some way, shape, or form, especially the latter part of it for sure. You've heard this many times, maybe quoted by individuals. But in John chapter 15 and verse 12, Jesus says, "This is my commandment, that you love one another as I have loved you." Then he says in verse 13, "Greater love hath no man than this, that a man lay down his life for his friends." Then he says, "Ye are my friends, if you do whatsoever I command you." Father, I just pray that you would take this moment and these remaining moments that we have, and just help us to be mindful of what it was that you said in this truth. And we are able to even experience that very truth here today with these folks who have honored us and what they do on a daily basis and the willingness that they have, that this verse becomes true. Lord, we love you, we praise you, and we thank you. In Jesus' holy and precious name we pray. Amen. First, just let me say it's a tremendous honor to be here with you today, a day where we can recognize these emergency service personnel, policemen, and this Back the Blue service, and we thank you. These individuals, as Pastor said, who protect this city and this county around Shelby and its surrounding areas on a daily basis. And I personally want to say thank you to each of you. When I think of the military, and when I think of police, sheriff's departments, and even fire departments and other organizations, there are a lot of words that come to my mind that would describe these folks that do this work. Maybe it's the word courageous. Maybe it's the word professional. Or the idea of dedicated to service. Those are just a few. But I know that there's one word that comes to the very head, to the very top of this list when I think of these individuals, and it would be the word sacrificial. Men and women in uniform who answer the call to go into harm's way every single day, to protect the freedoms that we are so blessed with in this country today. Folks who are willing to put their lives on the line that we may be protected. Folks that may even run into a burning building or run into a situation to save a total stranger, someone that they don't even know, but be willing to do that. These are my kind of heroes right here. And I thank God so much for each one of you here today. Thank you. When I think of all the Bible verses that would describe a group like this, whether it be military or other folks of that nature, I think it's this passage that we just read right here. "This is my commandment, that ye love one another, even as I have loved you. Greater love hath no man than this, that a man lay down his life for his friends." Can I insert that lay down his life for a total stranger? Now that is love. After being in the military a few years and having been in combat a few times, I've seen acts of heroism. I've heard many acts of valor that resulted in some cases of individuals that they would even win the Medal of Honor. Sometimes it was not able to give it to them, but to their families posthumously. When I think of the idea of a full measure of sacrifice. Think about that term, the full measure of sacrifice. It actually causes me to reflect on one of the accounts that an individual told me here just a few years ago when I was over at Ambassador for their missions conference. Individual walked up to me and he said, "You know what? Let me tell you a story." And he said, "It's not just a story. It really happened." He told me that in Vietnam, that there was a chaplain who was assigned to a unit there. And like many good chaplains, what was he going to do? And I say good chaplains, okay? He shared the gospel of Jesus Christ to all of those who would listen. And during one of those times that he was sharing the gospel at a small Bible study, lo and behold, there came this young man up out of the crowd there, came up to the chaplain and said, "I would like to accept Christ as my Savior." And that particular day, he put his trust and faith in Jesus Christ and became a born-again believer. And his eternal destiny was sealed from hell into heaven from that very day. Now, if there's one thing that you understand in the military, as well as these individuals over here, you never know what day the Lord may call us home. Later, that same chaplain was traveling with his men into the jungle. And soon they came under heavy fire by the Viet Cong. And as a result, the chaplain was severely wounded to the point to where he could not walk on his own. And as the medics came, they bound up his wounds, and as best as they could, and then they securely strapped him to a stretcher, to a gurney, so that they could transport him out of the jungle into a clearing where there would be the medevac helicopters who could transport him back to get medical care. However, the Viet Cong were waiting also right by that same clearing. They knew that the choppers would come landing there, and soon enough, as soon as those choppers were just getting ready to set down, the enemy began to fire at the aircraft and to lob mortars into the clearing. And at that particular moment, all the people waiting there to transport these stretchers onto the helicopter, they scattered back into the jungle for protection. And no one at that point grabbed the stretcher where the chaplain was laying. The chaplain could hear the shrapnel going over top of his head, and some even struck him in the sides of the arms. To himself, surely he thought, "I'm going to die. I'm not going to survive this." Then to his surprise, he heard someone running to him. And before he knew it, a soldier had thrown himself on top of the chaplain to shield him from the attack. In just a few moments, the attack stopped. But it was only then that the chaplain could feel the wetness on his sides. But it wasn't his blood. But it was the blood of the man who had thrown himself on top of the chaplain. As others came back, it was then that the chaplain was able to look up at this man and to see who it was. And to his astonishment, it was that young man who had just came forward in that Bible study a few days before and had accepted Christ as his Savior. The chaplain was alive. Why? Because of this one who was willing to give a full measure of sacrifice to save the life of a comrade. That young soldier died that day, but the chaplain lived. How many of you would agree that that's an amazing account of sacrifice? Yeah. But I can think of an even greater account of sacrifice than this morning. I can think of a sacrifice that would not only save one man physically, but a sacrifice that can save all mankind eternally. But wait, it wasn't just a sacrifice for all mankind generically. It is a sacrifice made, ready, personally for me. And personally for each one of you. Amen. Chaplain, what are you talking about? No one's ever died for me like that. To which I would say, oh yes, he has. And his name is Jesus. Can I tell you this? God loves you so much. The most quoted verse in all Scripture is John 3:16. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. He gave his own Son to be a sacrifice for each one of us so that we can be forgiven of our sin. And with full hope and peace to know that when we die, when we perish, that we have a home in heaven and all of our sins have been forgiven. Amen? Wow. I've had individuals come to me and say, now, chaplain, we can't know that for sure. I mean, that sounds great, but you can't know that for sure. And I say, that's not what my Bible says. My Bible says in 1 John 5, verse 13, these things have I written unto you, that believe on the name of the Son of God, that ye may know that you have eternal life. Not that you hope for, not that you think, but you can know. Now, any person in their right mind would say, I want to know that. I really want to know that. Question is, do you know that? Do you know that for sure? I mean, stop for just a second and ask yourself internally a question personally. How would you personally answer this question? If you were to die today, or even 5 years from now, right? If you were to die, are you 100% sure, 100% sure that all your sins have been forgiven and that you have a home in heaven for all eternity? I didn't ask 80, I didn't ask 90, or even 99. I said, are you 100% sure that that issue is settled between you and God? And if you don't know for sure, my question is, why not? God has done everything on his part to give us this truth so that we can know that. And that issue would be settled. A lot of times people say, chaplain, I don't know. But then the real question I have for them is, but do you want to know? Do you really want to know? And if you do, then there's a couple things that we need to understand. First and foremost, for any of us to have a relationship with God, to have that total peace about this matter of what we call salvation, or to be born again, to have that blessed hope that I am personally a child of God right now at this very moment, we must understand a few basic truths from his word. Number one, if I could say it this way, there's some things we need to understand. Number one, we need to understand there is a problem with this thing called sin. Now, if there's any one group of individuals who understand what sin looks like, it's this group right over here. I would venture to say that probably a majority of the calls that they get on a regular basis deal with issues of sin. Would that be true? Yeah, I think so. See, they understand there's a problem with sin. But can I tell you something? Sin affects all of us. It doesn't just affect bad people, does it? Sin affects all of us. The truth of the matter is, we have all broken God's laws or His commandments at least sometime in His life. If I could just say this, let's just take the Ten Commandments. Just 10. How many of us would be honest enough to say, Chaplain, I've broken at least one of those laws at some point in my life? Anybody be honest enough to say that? Come on, guys, help me out here. Yeah. See, because we understand that. The Bible says in Romans 3:23, for all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. Romans 3:10 says, there's none righteous, there's none good, no, not one. We're all in good company. We're all sinners. Isaiah 53, verse 6 says, all we like sheep have gone astray. We've turned everyone, get this, to his own way. Is that true or not? Yeah, I think it's pretty true. There's a problem with sin. But number two, there's something else we need to understand. Did you realize that there's also a consequence or a penalty for that sin based on the Word of God? Romans chapter 6, verse 23 says, the wages, or that which we earn because of our sin, is the word death. Now, some people would say, now, Chaplain, I understand. We're all going to die at some point. Every one of us, if God doesn't come back and take us home, then we're all going to die. That's a Bible truth. But that word death there is a very interesting word. It's not just a physical death. The word literally means separation. So if I read it that way, it gives a different context. It says, for the wages of sin is separation. Well, that begs a question, doesn't it? Separation from what? No, wrong question. The better question is separation from who? Do you realize that your sin and my sin separates us from a holy God and causes a chasm or a gulf to be between us and God? Now, there's people who would say something like this. Well, you know, God is a loving God. He's such a caring God. Couldn't He just overlook my sin? From man's standpoint, somebody said, well, of course, but not from God's standpoint. Why? Because God is also a God of justice and a God of holiness. And our sin also affects even His character. He can't allow sin to come into His presence. Well, if sin can't come into His presence, and He lives in heaven, and if we were to die, and we were to be separated from God, then where would that make our destination? Not heaven. And the last time I checked in my Bible, there's only two destinations when you die: heaven and hell. Now, I know that we don't hear a lot of preaching on hell today, but you have to be honest and understand, sin separates us from God. And if you die separated from God in this life, you will remain separated from Him for all eternity in a place called hell. Do you know that God never created hell for mankind? Did you know that? The Bible says that God created hell as a domain for Satan and his fallen angels. But because man chose not to follow God and to follow Satan, then that becomes their domain when they die as well, if they know not Christ. How many of you say that's sad? Yeah, it's sad. But can I tell you something? But it doesn't have to be that way. Because not only is there a problem with sin, and not only is there a penalty with sin, but praise God, there was a provision made for that sin. Let me just say also, before I go to that provision, there is also one other penalty one other consequence for sin, and that is this. The Bible says that your sin comes with a debt. Anybody ever have debt in their life? Sometimes if we have too much debt, we can go to some companies and hopefully they can help us erase the debt. Sometimes when we get real bad off, we can file for Chapter 11 to get us out from underneath that debt. But let me help you with something. There is one debt that always has to be paid, and it's the sin debt. It can't be written off by some outside organization. Know this. Know this. When we sin against God, we create a sin debt. That's a debt that has to be paid by someone. Ready? You're either going to pay it yourself in this place called hell, or somebody's going to pay that sin debt for you. Really? Yeah, that's the third point, because aren't you so grateful that there's a provision for our sin? See, God, even before the foundation of the world, knew the decision that man would make regarding this issue of sin, and therefore had a plan already in place. And that plan was real simple. God himself, in the form of a man, Jesus Christ, would come to this earth and live for 30 years. But his purpose for living was simple. It was to go to the cross of Calvary. So that in his dying on that cross, in that shedding of blood, he was able to pay a debt of sin for all mankind. Not his sin, but our sin. How do I know that? Well, the Bible tells us, but God commendeth or showed his love toward us, and that while we were yet sinners, get that, he commended or showed his love toward us, and that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. Help me out here. Christ died for me personally, and you personally. The Bible says that's the good news. That's what we call the gospel. It's simply that Jesus came and he died on the cross of Calvary. He rose again according to the scriptures. And that is all encompassed in calling that the gospel of Jesus Christ. Just like the soldier who died saving the chaplain. And the blood of that soldier's back covered that chaplain. My friend, it's the blood of Jesus Christ that came from his pierced brow, his scourged back, his pierced side, that covers our sin. No, it's not just covers our sin. 1 John 1:17 says it a different way. It says it washes our sin away. What? It's the blood of Jesus that makes the provision to pay the debt, to wash our sin completely away. I don't know about you, but I think that's pretty good news. Amen? Jesus paid the debt for your sin with his precious blood. Can I say it this way? Jesus gave the full measure of sacrifice to save our lives eternally. You may ask, what must I do to be 100% sure that if I died today that I have my sins forgiven and go to heaven? First of all, the Bible says you need to understand those three truths that I just told you. Then it goes as far as to give us the idea we must stop trusting our own way. We must stop trusting what we think about this and come and say, but what does God say about this? And realize that he is the only one who can save us. That's why Jesus said in John 14:6, I am the way, the truth, and the life. He said it this way, no man can come to the Father but or except by me. Now, Jesus was either a lunatic, crazy, or he's the only one that's the way. Which is it? See, the truth is, we must accept personally this salvation or deliverance from our sin. It's not something that you and I can do on our own. It's not some work that you can perform. That's why the Bible says in Ephesians 2, 8, and 9, "For by grace are you saved through faith, and not of yourselves. It's a gift of God." Then he says this, "Not of works. Not of works, lest any man shall boast." Can I say it this way? If your works could save you, if you being good enough could save you, then why did Jesus Christ even come? Amen. Jesus is offering every single one of us a gift to become a child of God. He's offering us a gift of deliverance, a gift of salvation, to go from hell to go to heaven. Amen? What a gift! And do you know what he says about that gift? There's only one thing that you can do with a gift. You either accept it or you reject it. That's the only thing you can do with a gift. We must be willing to change our minds about this issue of sin. We must be willing to change our hearts about this issue. That's what the Bible talks about, this aspect of repentance. Now, I know sometimes we use these big words in church and salvation, repentance, and justification. But, you know, repentance is a real simple word to me, because it's a military term. It's something that I understand very clearly. In the Greek, it's the word metaneo. And here's what it literally means. Ready? Here's what it means. How many of you have heard this term before? About peace. My friend, that's repentance. It means I was heading this way. I was still in my sin. I'm heading this way. This is my thoughts about the world. This is my thoughts about sin. But something got a hold of my heart. Something pricked my heart. The truth finally absorbed into me, and I said, I don't want to live that way anymore. I don't want to sin against God. Therefore, I want to have a change of mind. No, therefore, I want to have a change of heart. And as soon as I turn around, I come face to face with the Lord Jesus Christ, the only one who can truly forgive me, the only one who can pay the sin debt. See, you can't forget repentance. You can't forget that part. I've got to have that change of heart, and then I have to make a decision of whether or not I'm going to accept that gift or not. What do you mean? The Bible says that if thou shalt confess with thy mouth that which you believe in thine heart, how that God hath raised him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. For with the heart man believeth unto righteousness, with the mouth confession is made unto salvation. In other words, I say, I believe it in my heart. I put my trust and faith in Jesus. Okay, then my mouth speaks it and says, Lord, I want to put my trust and faith in you. That's why the Bible says that whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. John says it this way, for as many as received him, by faith, put their dependence in him, to them gave he the power or the authority to become the sons of God. Isn't that amazing? And then back to John 3:16. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him shall not perish, but have everlasting life. How many of you would be honest enough to say this? How many of you would be honest enough to say you have either accepted that forgiveness of Jesus Christ already, or maybe today you would want to accept that forgiveness? How many of you would raise your hand and say, I've either accepted that or I would want to? Anybody like that in here? Amen. Amen. But I have one more question for you. Do you think that chaplain who was saved in Vietnam was changed after that experience of sacrifice? Do you think that that sacrificial act by that soldier had any impact in his life? What do you think? Absolutely. How would that act of sacrifice change your life today? You know, your life would be changed. You would, I think, first and foremost, I think you would be grateful. Secondly, I think that there would be an actual change in your life of how you live. And I think, lastly, I think you'd want to tell everybody about it, wouldn't you? I don't think you could keep that quiet. Man, you wouldn't believe what happened to me. I was literally about to die. And this young man gave his life to save my life. You think you could keep that quiet? I don't think so. How many of us here today, as we profess to be born again believers, how many of us here today who said, I've already accepted Christ as my personal Savior and I put my trust and faith in Him, how many of you would say that Jesus has sacrificially changed your life in some way? Question, are you thankful? Born again believers, those of you who trust Christ, are you grateful? Are you thankful? How grateful are you for what Christ has done? We have eternal life because of His full measure of sacrifice. How often do you let know Jesus? How often do you let the Lord know that you're grateful? How often do you say, Lord God, thank you for saving my soul. Thank you for giving me eternal. Thank you for forgiving my sin. How often do we do that? Secondly, the other question I ask is, how often do you tell others about what Christ has done for you? Cannot keep it silent about what He's done for me. Hey, listen, you don't need to be a chaplain, a minister in the military just to tell people about Christ. You don't have to be in the ministry to tell people about Christ. Every single one of us who know Christ as our Savior should be willing to shout it from the housetops. Look what Christ has done for me. Amen. Because Christ has given the full measure of sacrifice. When's the last time you shared your testimony? Believer, when's the last time you shared your testimony with someone else? When's the last time you shared the gospel with someone? When's the last time you went looking on purpose to tell somebody? Not just because of a passerby, but I went looking on purpose to tell somebody about it. When's the last time you did that? See, because if we see it as a full measure of sacrifice, you can't keep me quiet about what Christ has done for me. And then also, his life was changed. I believe that chaplain's life was changed from that moment on, even to the point that we will desire to be more and more like Jesus Christ, the one who saved us. Do you know that God created you for a purpose? Do you know that? He created all of us to glorify Him. Every single one of us were created to glorify God. But as born-again believers, He also added on to say that He desires that each one of us be conformed or transformed into the very image of the Son of Jesus Christ Himself. You realize that? God wants us to be more like Jesus every day. How do I know what that is? Well, you got to study the Word of God to find out what Jesus was like in order for you to be like Him. Amen! We all have to believe. We all have to do that. I'll wrap it up. It should even cause us to stop being so self-centered and possibly be willing to be sacrifices ourselves unto God, that we would live fully for His honor and glory on a daily basis. That's what Christ told us. That's what the Bible, that's what the book of Romans, I beseech you therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice, wholly acceptable unto God. That's what God desires, that we give ourselves unto Him and live for Him as we live for our fellow man as well. We have a world out there that desperately needs to see what real Christianity looks like. When true revival broke out in 1900 over on the island of Wales, there was a preacher there by the name of Robert Evans. And as he preached the truth of Jesus Christ and as people began to get saved, something amazing happened. Not only did it change the hearts of men and change their lifestyle, but that revival changed even their community. So much so, get this, true fact, so much so that the policemen didn't have anybody to arrest. The bars were shut down. The houses of ill repute were completely put out of business because revival broke out. And people said, I want to live like Jesus. And when they did, it changed their entire community. How many of you like to see that? Amen! But maybe it's got to start right here with us. If we're going to see that kind of change take place, I can't look at what others do. I got to look at myself and ask a simple question. If I were to die today, am I 100% sure that my sins are forgiven and that I have a home in heaven for all eternity? You know you can know that, right? Today. Those of you who do know it, are you grateful? Are you telling others? Has it changed your life personally? Say, Brother Willis, it hasn't. And something is wrong. And maybe it's time that we make some decisions for God. Instead of just decisions for us, maybe a decision for God today.